So I want to move on now and talk about another issue. And actually, Rob has a couple of cases that'll help us get into it. It's really amazing how the ESMO meeting the last 2 years has really been so consequential in terms of this area. Of course, we saw SOTA 1 year before, and this year we saw the Paola study, the niraparib study. But the other study was Rob's study, the VILIA study, which is the only one that used the PARP during a chemotherapy, specifically veliparib. And Rob, you have this 60-year-old lady. What happened with her?
Well, this one, this is actually the patient.
Oh, I'm sorry. This is your recaprib case.
Yeah.
This is your recaprib case. So, yeah. And you already went through it, but yeah. I guess.
Yeah, there's the real
great case.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So there it was.
Okay. Here we go. Billy. So okay. 56-year-old.
Yeah, so 56-year-old, she had high-grade serous. We knew she was germline, BRCA wild type. She had pretty heavy disease in the omento and diaphragm and grossly enlarged pelvic nodes and had big mass, big CA125. And she went into the study, which was had three arms. One was placebo throughout with chemo. One was veliparib with chemo and followed by placebo, and then a veliparib throughout. Arm.
How did she do on therapy?
So she was, we started on dose dance, and she, you can see the doses there, and it's important to note that the chemotherapy here is essentially full dose chemotherapy which we would give to a patient without veliparib, and she had a tremendous response. So you can see her CA125 went from like 6,700 down to 72. And she had almost complete resolution of her omento and diaphragm disease. Her nodes returned to almost normal size and became kind of equivocal. And the ovaries were markedly smaller too. So of course she was on the study, had responded, went on to onto the maintenance phase of the trial. But what was interesting is that when we got her somatic testing back, she had a RAD51D mutation, which makes sense for why she had such a dramatic response.
What is your take on the side effects profile of veliparib? You all have been talking about the other three drugs, but what about veliparib? Where do you put it in terms of GI problems? Where do you put it in terms of cytopenia?
So if, from the standpoint of how you look at the PARP inhibitors across the board, and our best indication of that was to look at it in the maintenance phase, and we reported that in the study. And so if you look at from cycle 7 through the termination of the trial, they're very similar in terms of frequency. They have the same kind of GI side effects, a few hemologic, but most of the side effects are very, are grade 1-2. The difference in the chemotherapy phase reflects that there is a slightly increased risk of hemologic toxicity that you would see if you were giving other chemo combinations with PARP. But there's never been a study that has been able to use full dose chemotherapy with a PARP other than veliparib.
So I'm going to ask Katie the same question, but first I want to ask you, Rob, which is, if this strategy, this drug were approved, can you describe a situation where you might prefer it? And can you describe how you would place it along, putting aside sort of FDA indication issues, how, if at all, would you use it practically outside a trial setting right now?
So, I think that the data are very strong in the BRCA population and in the HRD population, which includes the BRCA patients. I think the question comes up is what does it look like in the patients that, the all-comer populations that are not defined by that. And we didn't, we provided data on that analysis, but obviously it's a subgroup that's not really well characterized. So personally, it gets back to, you said there were two decisions, right?
Yes.
And that's the key. So if you're a believer in Bev, you're going to start that at that point with the chemotherapy. If you're a believer in PARP and you have this available to you and you think it's of value, you'll start it then. And so you have defined the course after that point in time. So if I think in a BRCA HRD patient, I would probably start, I think I would give serious consideration to putting them on veliparib.
So Katie, agree or disagree?
I think this is one where I don't know what I said but I change my mind almost every based on philia. I was definitely not hypothesis tested, but I was really struck by the data that Dave O'Malley presented at SGO with improved response rates, especially amongst the homologous recombination proficient patients. And so I would like to see the only that group pulled out and see the PFS curves for those that got veliparib followed by placebo versus nothing. Because I want to see that group. I'm interested in that group because that's the group we're failing right now.
Yeah.
In addition to the patients and someone on the question and answer, which I've been trying to answer some of them, asked this question, you know, basically, what do you do with someone who has stable disease? And none of Prima, Paola, Solo do not answer that question. Philia, while not again hypothesis tested, did include those patients. And so get some data on them that they, it looks like they do benefit some. And so I'd like to see, I bet it's coming, some more of that breakout, just hypothesis generating, but it may be the best data we have.
Right.
So I'm undecided, Neil. I struggle with the excess toxicity during chemo. But I don't want to leave women behind, which I think the HRD assay does. And so that's why I have concerns about it. And so if this makes me able to not leave women behind who will benefit, then I might be sold on it.
Yeah.
You know, one of the... go ahead, Rob.
As I say, you know, the other issue is that a lot of people look at these curves and they start looking at the numbers and doing the cross-trial comparisons. But I think it's important that people remember that this decision, that the Vilia data represent the decision of all patients who were who have not been exposed to treatment to get this triplet versus placebo. And so patients that did not respond, you know, during their induction chemotherapy were not eligible for any of the other maintenance trials other than the patients who didn't have, you know, measurable disease. So what Katie said is important, just like it was with Bev, to make sure that we remember that we are treating an all-comer population and we do not know what the future of that person is when they're sitting in your clinic on cycle one. So you need to make a decision on cycle one.
So I was just thinking as I hear this violent thunderstorm outside. So if you lose me, the four of you, just keep going. You have another 15 minutes. Good luck. But anyhow, you know, kind of as you talk, I keep wanting to go back to module two and we you know, we try to move forward because there is no end to this discussion. It's like the Talmud. And in fact, we built in breakout sessions that we're doing with all of our faculty, including all four of you. We're doing another conference after all this is over that we're going to tell you about, a series of four teleconferences. We're going to go through both PARP and immune with one person from each faculty just to keep talking about it. We have hundreds of great questions coming in. We're going to curate them and go through those and try to bring some of that up. But this is a deep, a complicated story that, you know, you can't tell in 90 minutes. But I did want to bring in just briefly issues related to recurrent disease, sort of revisit this, Stephanie. This used to be all we had to talk about, although it was really interesting to talk about. And of course, once all these other trials came in, we haven't talked about it as much. But just to sort of put our finger on the pulse, so to speak, of how people are currently, now that the data's had a little while to shake out, how they're approaching platinum sensitive recurrence. And looks like in a patient with a germline mutation who's never had a PARP inhibitor. And I guess, Stephanie, the only thing to note here is just, you know, it is interesting, the breakout in terms of which PARP. It kind of reminds me a little bit with the CDK inhibitors in breast cancer. You have three, but palbociclib was the first one that was approved, and people still use that, although the three seem to be very, very similar.